when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, hello, everybody. This is episode 46 of Prepping 2.0. Today's topic is, and there's a lot of numbers, so you're going to have to listen closely, Food Preps 2.0, Part 2. And we're going to talk about inventorying food, chickens for beginners, and Patreon questions that were asked to us about food preps. We're going to answer them in the after show. And in the after show, we're going to do what everybody loves, which is our Live or Die episode, Live or Die number 8. And that's where I put a picture up on social media. We'll be talking more about social media, big development on that. Put a picture up of somebody, and I ask you guys whether that person's going to live or die in the collapse. And the comments, every single one of them, are always hilarious. And so we'll answer that in the after show, because the after show is for Patreons. They support the show and make it possible, so we thank them with that. But before I talk more about this awesome show, it's time for me to say hello to my co-host. Hello, co-host.
Hello, co-host and husband.
Wow, that's me.
Yeah, so we should probably define our pronouns. Hello, yes. Glenn Tate. How are you today?
Hello, Shelby Gallagher. How are you? My preferred pronoun is he, because I'm a man. And what's your preferred pronoun?
She.
Because why?
That's how God made me.
Okie dokie, then. So there we go. That's the hellos. I mentioned social media a little bit, and we had a big development a couple weeks ago. Facebook, out of the blue.
On a Friday afternoon.
No warning. No appeal process. Just completely shut down the Prepping 2.0 Facebook page. Only the Facebook page for Prepping 2.0. Shelby, what are the other Facebook pages that are still alive?
The ones that are still alive are Your 299 Days.
The book.
Your book series and my book series. Shelby Gallagher, author.
Yes.
So both of those pages are still up. And let me just back up a little bit. When you said there was no communication from Facebook, it literally was one of those little red bells, little red notification on all of the, there's several of us that administrate that page, Prepping 2.0. And we all got just a one-liner. Your page, Prepping 2.0, has been unpublished.
Unpublished.
Done.
Gonzo.
Gone.
Poof.
Poof. No explanation, no appeal process. One of our administrators is really, really good at this whole Facebook thing, tried the appeal process throughout that weekend, nothing. And we sent an email to, and we'll talk about that in a moment, to our supporters and our fans and said, hey, this just happened, hang tough, we're going to come up with a plan B. And we did, we just started a new page.
And how did that new page go in the first 24 hours?
The first 24 hours, no, let me say this. The old page, the unpublished page, we had in the range of 13,000 followers.
15.
Yeah, I thought it was 13.
15,000
followers. Within the first 24 hours, we were already up to 1,000 because of great fans and listeners like you who kind of followed the narrative and followed kind of what happened and all of that. The cool thing that happened out of all that, people have told us, you need to do this, and we just are like, we don't need another thing to administrate. And go over to MeWe.
So MeWe.
Mm-hmm. MeWe. You, me, we, whatever. And we go over there, and we...
and it's terrible. Very...
The last time I went over to MeWe was a couple of years ago, and it was wonky.
It was terrible.
And it's, you know, it's like riding a bike after you've just ridden on a Mustang. It was just like, oh, this is clunky and hard. It has a very...
Facebook-like feel.
Facebook feel to it, and they have pages and groups. Now, they're pages you have to pay for, so we started a Prepping 2.0 group, and it's over there just humming along. The chat feature over there has been really great. A lot of you out there were already over on MeWe, and you're chatting away about comms and that sort of thing. And then we also started our own, you and I each, an author page,
yes.
An author group, and we each
on
have
MeWe.
On MeWe. So basically, we replicated what we have on Facebook over there. So that... All that to say, bottom line is, if Facebook decides to do this again, you'll find us over on MeWe. And the other thing out of all that came this. We were like, oh my gosh, what did we do wrong? What did we post that Facebook didn't like? I don't think there was anything. Our understanding from what we've read and we've looked out there in the communication world, this happened to a lot of other conservative, prepping, you know, right of center sort of groups.
Yeah, and something to add to that, I'm sure it was a, quote, coincidence, sarcasm intended. On behalf of a Patriot client of mine, the week before Prepping 2.0's Facebook page was shut down, I don't know, I sued Facebook under the Consumer Protection Act, a really big case that could really mess up Facebook really, really badly. Oh, and guess what? Then my page is shut down without any explanation. Now, a lot of other conservative, pro-gun, liberty, patriot, prepping Facebook pages were shut down that week too. So I don't know if they're connected, but I think Facebook's dirty. And here's the thing. We're talking about migrating from Facebook to MeWe. It's not a full stop. Mm-mm. And all of that. Just start exploring MeWe, going over there. Several hundred people joined MeWe as a result our Facebook page being shut down. Thank you guys who did that. And just start kind of clicking around and doing your thing. It'll take a while to get used to it. I think you maintain your Facebook stuff, but you just kind of, as I say, migrate. Here's how I do it. On my phone, my icon, my app icon that's the primary place that I go first is now MeWe. It used to be Facebook. Right. So we just kind of migrate over. Give yourself about a year and a bunch of people are coming over to MeWe. And there were all these people on MeWe that I kind of thought they'd dropped off the face of the earth. No, they made the migration about a year ago.
And they abandoned Facebook.
Oh, we didn't even say this. It's obvious, but MeWe doesn't censor you. That's why we're there.
Yeah.
They don't censor you. Now, I guess if you said, you know, I'm going to detonate a nuclear warhead, you know, in American City, they'd probably do something. But none of us talk like that, so it's not an issue. So it's Facebook censorship-free on MeWe.
Right. Well, and when we say Facebook censorship, this kind of random, out of nowhere, unpublishing you without any explanation and no communication and no, it's a tyranny sort of thing. Now, and it's very politicized, and I'm not saying anything that's just my opinion. That has been out there. That is in the media. That is...
Everyone listening knows
everyone
that.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. So I look at MeWe as our lifeboat, really. We're sitting here on this ship of Facebook where we have a very robust community, and we just created the lifeboat out there that will eventually become the mothership, right?
So exactly. And also it got us thinking about deplatforming, and Patreon currently is a pretty good place to have a Patreon support program. And I don't have any problems with Patreon. There are other conservatives that have bigger Patreon supporter groups that are still on Patreon that haven't been shut down. But we have a plan, because why? We're preppers.
Yep.
We prepare. We have a plan. We have an alternate Patreon-like platform set up and ready to go. We're not going to tell you guys what it is, because then you'll go over there and you'll be on two platforms. It'll be hard to administer. So here's the thing. You'll get an email from us, because all of our Patreons, we have their email addresses. You'll get an email from us saying, go and switch over to this other platform. Here's the link. It's not going to be like, you know, a spamming or phishing thing. And here's the thing, though. We have to have your email address to do this. So what do you do? We have Patreon's email addresses, and then we have email addresses from people who go on the website of My Book and Your Book, and they sign up for our email list. So you got to sign up for the email list, both the book's email lists, in order to get notification of where we're going to be next. So we're always going to be one step ahead of the censors. And so go into prepping2-0.com and click on Shelby's Books, and that'll take you to agreatstate.com, where you can sign up for the email list. We don't sell your stuff. We don't give it out to other people.
We don't email you very much either.
We don't email you very much. Only when we have something important to say,
exactly.
Right? And then you can do the same. You go and you click on, when you go to prepping2-0.com, you go onto Glenn's Books, get on the email list for 299 days, and then we can keep in touch with you. So we've probably beaten the...
Oh my gosh, enough of the clicking around, but just so everyone knows, we have...
Plans.
Plans for a deep
And you got to be engaged with us, especially with the email list, for our plans to work.
Yeah.
So that's the part you got to do. We'll keep doing a show for free, the regular
show.
And all that. That's what we're going to do. And you need to just know where to listen to it. And so it's a pretty good deal.
It's good. Yeah. So the next thing is, take a deep breath. Enough clicking around on out there in the cyber world. One thing we do every week is the top 100 things that disappear in a collapse. We're on number 36 this week. And again, you can go to prepping2-0.com, lower right-hand corner. Number 36 is fire extinguishers.
Huh. Why would those be necessary?
Because fire is bad. If uncontrolled fire is bad. And if you are, if your electricity's out, if your water pressure, you don't have water pressure, you don't have a fire extinguisher, it's a bad thing. I will say this. Here's one that just came to mind. And if you watch this show, you watch this show alone. It's about people who get left alone out in extreme circumstances, and whoever is the last standing wins. I love this show because I learn a lot of bushcraft skills and ideas there. There was a major fire recently on this show, and it's the poor guy did not have a fire extinguisher, and it was a dire situation. So that's what that made me think of just now when I saw this on this list. But fire extinguishers are big, especially when you don't have regular infrastructure.
Exactly, and that was my point, and that is you're going to be having a lot of fires. People are going to be cooking on fires.
Open fire.
People are going to have open fires to stay warm.
And you can't call 911.
And there's no 911. And so they're cheap now. Costco usually has like a 2-pack of Kidde, K-I-D-D-E, really good fire extinguishers, commercial grade fire extinguishers, like 2-packs, like $25. Mm-hmm. They last pretty much forever. Forget what they say on the internet. The little dial will tell you. Anyway, so fire extinguishers, mm-hmm. one of those things, much like every item in the top 100, where you would never think of these things unless somebody wrote 100 of them down and once a week mentioned it, which is why we do this. Well, we're gonna actually get to our topics here, but we have another important thing to tell people about, and those are some books that are now out, or audiobooks that are out, and some books that are planned. We're gonna keep it, you know, pretty
brief.
Simple on this, but Shelby, what are some what's an audiobook that's out right
now?
I'm
so excited, and I said this before, ladies and gentlemen. Whenever we say, "Hey, yay! We just published," I just published in July. Book 3 of my series, and it's one of those...
Count on this
guy. Yay!
Happening.
The
yeah.
next sentence, the next thing out of someone's keyboard is, when's it going to be available on Audible? It's just like, yay, I just had a baby. Great, when are you going to get pregnant again? Really?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Really?
So, people love audiobooks. It's a great
it
way
is.
To get a story.
And I
understand
prefer
that. Them to reading because I read all day long. And so all three audiobooks, by the time you hear this, all three audiobooks for a
should
great
be
state,
out, yes.
I'm going to say will be out.
Yeah.
And they are amazing, amazing narrators. So if you've been sitting around going, yeah, 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 whatever, I'll wait till all three books are on Audible.
Guess what?
Here's your sign.
Well, and here's the thing. You, as a listener right now, listening to a podcast, listening to a radio station, obviously you listen to your entertainment, your news, whatever. You are the Audible audience most likely. Book 3. And I'm saying will most likely be out by the time you hear this, mainly because the last time when I did book 2, there was a glitch with Audible in the last minute that delayed it a little bit. So yes, you should be able to get it and listen to it. And huge thanks to my narrator who really did some really cool sound effects. For
oh
those,
my goodness. There's not hokey, it's totally cool.
Totally cool sound effects with her producer. So there's that. So we have some other books though you want to talk about.
Yeah, we have, and we'll be talking more about this in the substantive part of the show coming up here in a moment, and that is we're going to be doing a book on the food element of prepping. Food Preps 2.0 is our working title. We'll probably stay with that. Probably spring, summer of 2020. We're not sure. It's going to be a comprehensive
It's going to be
thing.
Big.
The single-spaced outline is currently 11 pages. This is everything from thinking about food preps and planning out a system to what to buy, how to store it, how to inventory it, how to preserve various things, you know, freeze drying and canning, and how to get food that isn't from the store. We'll just cover a little bit of gardening and hunting and fishing and chickens.
It's
and
a high
livestock,
level.
Look. And then how to prepare things in grid down conditions. So you yeah. can see what we're talking about. I call it the food element of preps. It's like, okay, we need food. Okay, what does that mean? Well, it means everything from getting the food to storing the food to finding the food in your shed or whatever to knowing how to cook it. I mean, food preps are great. Hey, I got a bunch of number 10 tins and I got no can opener and no way to cook it. Great, unless you can eat tin, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
So you got to think about the whole system. More on that. But anyway, we're excited about this.
Yes, we are.
Publisher is going bonkers on this. Cannot wait to get this out. It's going to be a nonfiction book. There'll be a few pictures, all that kind of stuff. It's
yep.
going to be really, really well produced. And there's another book that is probably coming out, and I'm just going to tease the topic of it. It's going to be on preppers needing gold and silver and how to acquire gold and silver without getting ripped off. And it's going to be co-written with a guy who's an expert in the field.
Well, he's a past guest.
He's a past guest. So we're going to leave it at that. So we're going to tease that, but that's going to be really cool. And of course, the last book that's planned that we'll mention is the second edition of Prepping. Geez Louise, so many books.
299 Days.
299 Days, second edition is going to be modernized, slight story change on the role of Dr. Foxy. And it's going to take, the second edition is going to take into account what might happen in 2020 in the presidential elections. Bum-ba-da-ba-dum. Going to be very, very,
very cool.
So, Shelby.
What's in the merch shack?
In the merch shack this week, we have I Miss America magnets.
So cool.
These are the
first. No, they're patiently awaiting the collapse.
I'm
magnets.
So sorry. Take that back.
They say patiently awaiting the collapse.
I was going by what you wrote on our little checklist here. But patiently awaiting Patsy magnets. So you can stick it on your refrigerator, on anything, on an appliance.
Gun safe. Harvest ripe food freeze dryer.
Exactly.
Car.
Without sticking. So those are brand new. This is our first announcement of this. If you have one of the stickers, they're still there. They're very similar to that, just without the white border. And we also have, because we can talk about that here and not other places that get all sticky about it, we still have our AR mags. We're going to restock that supply here,
yes.
I believe, soon. And yeah, it's kind of fun. Our inventory is getting bigger. And yes, I know there's a person out there that I've been trying to work with, and I've just, things like deplatforming keep getting my way. I'm really going to work on trying to get patiently awaiting the collapse t-shirts. I think that'll be
cool.
Fun. That'll be a conversation starter.
Big time conversation starter. Yes. So we have a few minutes in this first segment.
Yes.
Let's start a topic, which is something that we ran out of time in episode 44, which was Food Preps 2.0 part 1. We didn't get to the big topic.
It's actually the topic that started
started the whole thing, which is inventorying food preps. And Shelby is an expert on this, and I'm just going to be quiet and listen to her tell you about, there's more to this than you think, guys. This isn't, hey, everybody, get out a spreadsheet and create the, no. There's so much that goes into this that you'll listen to this and you'll realize
how
it affects the entire system you have of food preps and how it's going to make stuff better. Shelby, take it away.
So, and this is in all of my little researching of how to keep an inventory, because that's where you and I get tripped up. It's like, where is this object that we need in the garage? And that's like saying it's a needle in a haystack, because our garage is unorganized currently right now, and trying to get things organized, and we are getting there. So I'm clicking around and playing around on some of the things out there, especially with food inventory. And one person out in the world of Cyberville showed a label that they put on their food that had a QR code. And it was a professional, you know.
And QR codes are those little things with a bunch of little pixelated boxes.
And you scan it with your phone.
And it pops up on your phone and tells you what it is.
And so when you scan it, depending on what it is, I mean, there's QR codes all over. It'll take you to a website. It'll take you somewhere. This QR code is assigned to the food item that's on the label. So, and it, you generate it. So what I was looking at was this person, I don't know, blueberry jam with a QR code. So they can use that QR code to inventory. And I immediately asked that person, what is that that you are doing? And said, it is an app where you can generate your own QR codes for inventory purposes. And I'm like, my head exploded. I literally lost a night of sleep playing on my phone trying to
think. This is true, everybody.
It's true. I'm sitting there going, oh my gosh,
this
oh my gosh, oh my gosh.
This is the woman I married.
Holy crow. So there's two apps out there. So that I want to start you there. There's two apps out that I know of. There's probably more, but the two I know of are Sortly, and the other one is Orca. Think Orca Whale, Orca Scan. And what it is, they have their basic setup. You can set up and you can get their free whatever. And
this is all on your phone, by the way.
This
That's
on
what's
your
cool, because you can walk out to your storage area and mm-hmm. start QR scanning stuff. You can enter it. You'll talk about that more, but I want to let everybody know it's not like some complicated retail gadget. It's
right.
like totally
nope.
affordable.
It's
an app on your phone. It's an app on your phone.
So there it is. So let me just walk you through how this works. So those of you who follow me on social media, you've seen this, where I have my little label with the QR code, and it says, I don't know, bananas. I've freeze-dried some bananas. I have a QR code.
So it's not just a QR code that you can't look at unless you're a computer. It says, like, bananas, and it's got the date
right.
and all of that other stuff, plus a QR code.
So what I have on my phone, I have set it up. Tub food, tub A. I sit here with my packaged bananas that I've packaged because I've created the QR code for bananas and I've made the labels.
And these are freeze-dried, not,
yes.
not just raw.
So, yeah, they're freeze-dried. So I scan the code, it comes up, and I say, I'm putting 5 packages of this into my tub A. So now, when you, and this happened when you went and had team weekend a few weekends ago, about a month or so ago now, and I wanted to bring you some eggs because you were having a food issue. All I did was search for eggs. Boom, there it is. And I went and...
There it was in tub B, and you pulled it out, and you took it off the inventory list because you went beep, and now it's checked out, basically. It's like a retail store, but without the retail store
cost.
It's like the same technology, but it's on your phone. And it's Sortly, S-O-R-T-L-Y.
Right.
Which I've used this. I love this thing. This is so easy to use. Even Glenn Tate can use it.
Well, and here's the thing. You were a little bit skeptical at first because you're like, we have so much stuff to organize. I don't even know where to start. And I said to you, we'll just start. When I start canning something, when I start freeze drying something, we will just start there and start creating tubs, which is good. And then it grows from there. Two things where it grows. So let's say I go to Costco and I buy some of their freeze-dried, I don't know, let's just pick something, eggs, because they sell them. I don't need to create a QR code. I can scan the
UPC
the
code.
The UPC code.
The little barcode. This is the coolest thing, and I've seen it. I didn't believe this. This is what really got me going on this thing. So she gets something from Costco, and she puts her phone up, and she goes, snap, and then all of a sudden on the screen is that product, and it has the number of servings, it has the, I think, nutritional stuff.
A picture of it.
A picture of it, and the amount of it, it's like 2.1 pounds or whatever. It's right there, and you don't have to type it in. You don't have to take a picture.
And I just need to say I want to put it in tub this with this much, this quantity.
Done.
Easy. Easy to do. So this is just with the food part of it. So food that I create, that I've canned, freeze-dried, whatever, dehydrated, whatever, I can create a code for. If I buy something, I've already got a code for it. That's food element. Now let's just branch this out a little bit. What if I buy some, what if I want to keep track of my ammo?
Bam, done.
What if I want to keep, and what if I just want to keep track of valuables for insurance purposes? Easy, and you, that sort of thing. Clothing, sleeping bags, all of those. It just, that's where my, I lost a night of sleep doing that. So I'm going to let you all kind of, well, do you have any final thoughts on that, though?
No,
before
it's
go into break?
The ease of use, which I've mentioned. It's inexpensive. There's the kind of the whatever the pay for version is like $20 or something like that. And you print out these labels on standard like
labels.
Mailing label things you get at Office Depot or whatever. And then you just slap them on there. And it's really, really slick. I've been, and so have you, we've been doing food preps for about 10 years now. And we've had various systems, none of which are really, really good.
No.
I mean, writing stuff down, putting it on painter's tape and putting it on a tub and stuff like that. Yeah, but we're to the point, and here's our point with this. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a serious prepper and you're for real, you've got enough food and enough ammo that you need a bigger system than just remembering it or post-it notes or stuff like that.
And we have some extra thoughts on that, about how to use this in a collapse. So hang tight. We're going to take a quick break. Don't go away.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Prepper Press is a small, independent publisher of survival nonfiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. At PrepperPress.com, you'll find a variety of books to guide you on your journey to prepare for a compromise to the electrical grid, natural disasters, economic collapse, political strife, or similar scenarios that could disrupt life as we know it. You'll also discover fictional yet believable stories about what happens to society when everything falls apart. To learn more, visit Prepper Press online at PrepperPress.com.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
The Operator G1 is a full-featured, rugged comm solution designed for the Midland MXT100 and 105. Using the GMRS bands, there is no ham license required and no test needed for operation. Ideal for preppers, hunters, homesteaders, ranchers, and people just like you. If you recognize the value of wireless communication with or without grid power, the Operator G1 is an award-winning solution that allows simple, one-button communication when it counts. Our two-year warranty, quality materials, and first-class assembly technicians deliver a high-value solution when you need to be sure you can get your comms up. To learn more, go online to PortableUniversalPower.com.
Hi, this is Glenn Tate. I wanted to let you know about the ammo supply place that I go to. There's no endorsements. Nobody's paying me anything. They're just good guys. Ammo Supply Warehouse. Ammo Supply Warehouse. Butch out there will take care of you. You know, prepping 1.0 is getting ammunition by the box. Prepping 2.0 is getting a case. You need to have at least a case of ammo for every gun.
Shelby Gallagher here. For all the ladies out there, you can never have enough ammo.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Shelby Gallagher, continuing our conversation about inventorying food preps in your preps and using an app to do that. A couple things to wrap up before we go on to what we were going to say. Invariably, the first question will be, well, great, you're using your phone and you're using electronics to keep an inventory. What happens when it's grid down and those things don't work? Great question.
Excellent question, we thought of that.
Yes.
Dude, is there a plan for that?
There is a plan for that. Because you're using this, you can actually go in and print out a hard copy of your inventory from these apps and from these apps. And so I recommend, and we're going to be doing here probably here in the next week or so, because we have a lot of things that we're going to be putting in our preps, we're going to print it out once a month.
Yep.
So that at any given time we have a printed out copy that's about 95%+ accurate, depending on how much prep we've done, so that we know where everything is. And that's actually the time when you need to know. When that the moment comes up and somebody says, where's the med kit? I don't want to spend 2 hours digging in tubs and digging in a shed trying to find a med kit. I want to be able to look at some sort, either a phone or a hard copy, and be able to find it quickly.
And I have a little system that I developed out at the cabin, and you've seen this with your own eyes, and that's a little clipboard, basically, with the printout. I have one of those clipboards that's got a cover, because I don't want everybody seeing my list, because we have, I almost use the word civilians, which is weird because we're civilians, but I have regular people, you know, that might come by and look in the shed. Maybe they're like looking at the lawnmower or whatever that's in there. And I don't want them to see a clipboard that has all these tubs that are marked beans and rice. And I also don't want the tubs to physically be marked in painter's tape or whatever, beans and rice. I just want it to say A, B, C. By the way, those post box letters at Home Depot that are like 3 inches tall, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
That white you would background. Use, yeah, that you'd use on like a mailbox or a house to designate, yeah.
Those are great. You just slap them on and they stick on there well. So there's a security aspect. They'll just look in a shed or basement or wherever you are, and they'll see a bunch of, in our case, Costco black 27-gallon plastic tubs with the yellow lids, which are phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, they're so durable.
And they're like $7. And by the way, the burst strength on those, I looked it up, because while you're staying up all night thinking about food inventorying apps, I'm looking up burst strength of Costco tubs. 650 pounds. So you can stack, you know, five tubs on top of that sixth one. And if those five tubs weigh 100 pounds a piece, by the way, good luck getting those top ones up there. You know, it takes a couple people. Anyway, as a practical matter, you're not going to burst these tubs. Think about the heavy stuff being on the bottom and the long-term stuff being way in the back where you need to access it the least. The worst thing I can think of would be, I mean, we're talking about brownie mix in episode 44. Oh, I need some freeze-dried eggs. okay, well, I'll go move 2,000 pounds worth of tubs. That's 2,100 pound tubs. I'll go move those to go find the eggs. So that's part, and we talked about that in the previous thing. That's part of this too, but see, Sortly helps you with that. You just move your tubs around the way you want them, and they can be like BFG7Z, whatever, labeled, who cares? And there you go.
And nobody knows what's in them. If you have, you know, a neighbor comes over and borrows a rake or whatever in your shed, or, you know, yeah, they don't know what's in these tubs, which is great.
Funny side story about that, very briefly, what I'm going to do, and I'll put up a Patreon post because Patreons will give us amazing suggestions. What are some things you could label tubs to throw people off and to think they're unimportant? I have a couple ideas. I'll probably put in painter's tape on these things. Things like model train collection, or like old National Geographic magazines or something like that. So people look and they're like, well, I'm not going to rifle
books.
Through those tubs.
Just books. Put books.
Nobody reads books anymore.
Yeah, books, magazines. Just label it with whatever. And you could actually make that your tub, quote unquote, label.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And tub labeled magazine, I have 50 AR mags. I don't know.
Yeah. Or disco 8-track tapes from the 70s, something that nobody wants. So anyway, there's a thing. Tell us more about inventorying, because this whole system is cool. And once you do it and you see it, it makes you realize all the cool things you can do in your system. It's more than just keeping track of stuff. It's a planning tool.
And again, I'm excited to see your excitement, because honestly, in the beginning, you're like, I don't know if this is going to work. It makes it so that, well, here's an example. One of the things that we have planned to do this weekend is we have a bunch of number 10 tin cans that we want to put in tubs. We're going to scan the code off of them.
The UPC code.
The UPC.
So it'll populate it with number 10 tin of beans. Does it have the best buy or expiration date from the UPC code?
It depends on the product. It depends on the manufacturer.
Right.
If it doesn't, we can do that. We can put that in. There's a note field where you can put in expires this date, and you can put any special instruction. You can do a lot of editing.
As we mentioned in episode 44, the best buy and expiration dates are a complete lie.
Yeah.
And forget about them.
If they're
anyway,
in number 10 can, I'm all good.
Kind of keep track of
the date. But for us to, just for practical reasons to know. So we're going to put those into tubs, and those are going to be deep preps. Number 10 cans are awesome. So we have these cans that we have needed to relocate. And then in this relocation, we are inventorying them into Sortly. We use Sortly. I recommend OrcaScan and any others out there that works for you. We chose Sortly. I actually started out with OrcaScan, but somebody else on our team uses Sortly. I'm like, just for cohesion purposes, we're going to use Sortly. But again, think of the other things. Think of all the medical supplies.
Huge. Because those have real live expiration dates
that really
matter, unlike canned food.
And those deep preps of toiletries, those deep preps of baby formula, if you're going to do that, if you need to do that. There's all kinds of prep stuff that you can inventory, and you know where they're at. I really do think ammo and guns and any of those sorts of things, great to know where they're all at. It's incredible what you can do with this. It's just not all food. I don't know. What do you think?
One thing, and this may not apply to too many people, but we have a pretty sophisticated comms program.
Yes, your communications, your radios, all
radios
of that.
Radios and extra batteries, and we got past the point of saying, hey guys, everybody buy your own radios and batteries, because it just got to be too much. A couple people on the team kind of specialized and acquired a bunch of radios and extra batteries and antenna and all those other things. Now they can be checked out, which is how a military unit would do it.
They keep an inventory and check them out. Exactly.
Right. And they keep it in checked out and blah, blah, blah. So there's a lot of uses. This is what I was getting at when I said that there are so many uses for this, and it's a planning tool, and it gets you thinking, aha, you know, maybe there was a limitation in the past. Oh, how are we going to keep track of this? Let's say radios. I'm not going to buy 10 radios and just hand them out to people. Well, now there's a solution
there's a way to do that.
And so it's very cool.
The other thing, it's very practical, and just our everyday pantry. If those of you who follow me on social media, I canned literally, I think, 65 jars of salsa recently.
It was delicious, by the way.
He says it like he ate all 65 jars.
It was the first time you ever made salsa, you ever canned it, or I don't know, did anything other than buy it from the store. I was like, this is amazing. I would eat it like pretty much spoonfuls.
Yeah,
it was like the nacho chip was like the fig leaf, the silly reason to actually eat salsa. That's crazy.
It's really good. It's really simple. And I put it on social media. I can put it out there more. But this is the first time, yes, I've made my own salsa. Super easy. But I used the QR code feature to label them. Now, salsa is not a deep prep. It really isn't. We're gonna probably eat this up within a year.
One football season, all 65, they're gone.
They're gonna be gone. But it's nice to know how much I have, so that it's so I put it into Sortly, and I just put it under a category called pantry. Those are those pantry items of those things, so that when I go to this store, let's just say, and I need something, oh my gosh, I don't know how much of XYZ I have at home. And a good example of that, we use Torani syrups a lot. The kids use it to make drinks with
flavored
soda.
Syrups, mm-hmm. Yeah, for like putting in like soda pop and like also for like lattes. We don't use them for lattes. Right. That's what they're used for.
But especially the kids. So here's the thing. We are guilty of going to the store and like, ooh, that flavor sounds good. And then we go home and like, oh, we have six jars or six bottles of that already. I have inventoried.
Based on a true story.
and Glenn's frustration. I've inventoried those in Sortly so that when I'm at the store, I'm like, no, we do not need any more strawberry Torani syrup. We have 10 bottles of that at home.
And this is all made possible by the fact that Sortly is on your phone.
Yes.
And it's with you at the store. And it's not on a clipboard somewhere. It's with you all the time.
And this all, again, came out of a post that I put up a few months ago. What do you use to inventory? I use my brain and a Sharpie. Well, we have come a long way, baby. So we're going to switch topics. There's some fun things there. We're going to keep putting this out there. And let us know. Send us a message, social media, whatever, and let us know the cool things that you've used to inventory for ease of life, really.
Yeah, and one way to tell us about that is if you're a Patreon, we'll put up a Patreon post with this show, which includes the after show, and there's a comment thing.
Yes.
And that'll be a great place for you to tell us about that. And we did a Patreon post asking Patreons to tell us what other than food they would use this to inventory, and there were some really great suggestions. Not enough time to go into all of them, mm-hmm. but it's super educational. The comments on the Patreon page are worth it because
yes.
you learn a lot because we don't know everything. And between Patreons and us, we
kind
of cover all the bases.
Well, and what's really cool, I really think this sort of an inventory system is truly an example of prepping 2.0.
Yes.
10 years ago, these things didn't exist. You did have to use the Excel spreadsheet and a pen and your brain and your memory. And you do get to a point where you hit this tipping point. I'm like, honestly, I can't remember everything. And I just can't. I can't. Between my life, my job, my kids, and my preps, I can't remember it all. This is a great way to do it. Really slick, really easily, really ease of time and all of that. So, and it's truly, yeah, go ahead.
And if anyone is bothered by the fact that this thing, I think it's $20 a year. It's like a subscription thing. If you're bothered by that cost, let me tell you this. By knowing how much stuff you have, let alone where it is, but knowing at strawberry flavored syrups for spritzers, for example, you will not buy a bunch of stuff that you already
it's
have
cost effective.
Because you can look on your phone and you can, in the search feature, type in STRA and all the stuff that has strawberry and it'll
yep.
come up. It'll tell you when you got it, like how much you have, a picture of it, blah, 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 blah. It's perfect.
Well, and also, too, there's the free feature with both OrcaScan and Sortly that you have your first 100 items for free. So try it. If you start to find yourself using more than 100 items, then buy the subscription. There is kind of this try it out thing, too. So there's that. That's cool. But I'm excited to go to our next topic.
Our next topic is something Shelby knows a ton about. And until I learned from her, I knew absolutely zero about. So I'm going to sit here, pop some popcorn and listen and maybe interject with little clarifying things because we might use some buzzword or something.
Well, you've been a part of this project.
I have. So
you've been my labor source.
That's right. That's right. That's all I do. So go ahead. The topic is?
Chickens.
And chicken coops.
Chicken coops.
And this isn't like, okay, here I go talking. Sorry about
go
that.
Go for it.
This isn't like everything you need to know about chickens
nope.
and like this breed and these kind of eggs and this is what they eat. Like everything else, we touch on topics, we get you thinking, we might point you to a basic resource, or we might give you a term, and then you can go and look it up. So this isn't like everything you need to know, because we have 13 minutes in this segment, everything you need to know about chickens. This is
mm-mm.
like how it fits in
no way.
To this food inventory, or not inventory, this food plan, and some stuff we learned, and we encourage you, because what I found out by doing and listening from you is that this is very doable. I thought
yeah.
chickens, that was a huge hurdle. Chickens are only raised by chicken farmers. Duh, everybody knows that. No, 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 I was super wrong. So take it away.
So let me give you some history here. I have been an urban chicken farmer. I lived in the city of Portland and I had chickens. And that's actually kind of like the trendy thing these days is having chickens living in a city. And a lot of cities allow you to have hens, two or three of them. In Portland, you could have three without any problem. Do not have a rooster. You will, that because there's a sound problem with that because they're loud. So I've had them, three hens, for, gosh, almost 20 years, the amount of time I lived in Portland. And was awesome. And one of the main reasons why I have them, because they're a constant source of really inexpensive food. You get an egg a day generally for about, I would buy a bag of feed for $12 every 3 months. I mean, it was this constant source of really inexpensive eggs.
Really extremely delicious eggs.
Yes.
That you can't beat. And they are so much more flavorful and nutritious. Everybody knows that listening.
Yep.
To this. I'm serious. I can't go back to store-bought eggs now. Sorry.
Right. So moved to the country, brought what at that time, what I have two chickens. We still have them. I don't know much longer we're going to have them. And I learned a lot of lessons from having chickens in the city. One, had many, many situations where raccoons got a hold of a chicken, where a dog got a hold of a chicken. Had one, the most recent one was literally a raccoon got into the chicken coop, and it was a murderous scene the next day. So having to deal with the predators, and that's where chickens have their truly the feeder fish of the mammal community, and they're easy targets. And so here we are out in the country. And we want to build a coop. And we go look around at, like, not just one of these little, you know, few $100 hutches at the local
stores.
Because
we want to have, like, 10 to 15 chickens
to upgrade the egg production.
Because, among other things, we're going to cook those eggs and we're going to freeze dry them in the freeze dryer and blah, blah, blah. See, it's all part of a system. But we want to have a major amount of eggs and not just kind of a one or two egg a day thing, but not 100 chickens.
Right. We want to upgrade. Now, let me lay this out there for you chicken folks out there. I don't want chickens right now for meat. I'm not ready to do that. I want good egg production, and I want anywhere from 10 to 15 hens. So we need a vibrant, robust chicken coop that can keep out predators, not one of these little $100, $200, $300, $400 hutches from your local feed store that is more for urban, living in the city sort of. Because I can guarantee you right now, they're cheap.
Because in the city, the chickens can call 911 and the police
will
come and get rid of predators.
They can squawk and I'll come running out.
Yeah.
And I will, right.
Maybe they can't call 911.
It doesn't always work that way. They can't call 911. So we're looking around. And when we first kind of were starting to look at this, we looked at like small sheds and actual like small outbuilding sort of things. And it was sticker shock, $3,000-$4,000. And we're like, is that worth it?
Yeah, and that's
a lot of money.
Plus shipping, plus installation. Mm-hmm. And these were like little teeny, no sarcasm, these were like teeny homes for chickens.
Yeah.
They were really cool
and really awesome
and looked spectacular, but they were thousands and thousands of dollars when you could, let's be candid, go buy all those eggs.
Right.
And do deep preps with them. And you wouldn't have the ongoing chicken production if you did that, but there's no way you make back $4,000 in quote free eggs.
So,
but it's not for that, is it?
It's not, exactly. So then it's the whole, okay, let's keep thinking about this, keep looking around. And I'm going to be honest with you, it was last springish, early summer, I walk into a Costco and they have a heavy grade shed. It's a small outbuilding shed for tools. It's meant to like put lawnmowers and stuff. And I called you and I said, oh, I found it. And it was $700.
Yeah.
It was under $1,000. I'm like, that is it. And we went to go buy it. They had sold out. We had to go back several times until they got more in. When we got one, put that away because we had other things going on this summer. We've started putting it together. So that's the pen part of it. That's the
chicken coop part of it. There's also the fencing. The
we
pen.
Want a pen so that they can be outdoors. Keeping in mind, we live in the country. There are predators. We will attract predators with this. They are flying in, digging under. That sort of thing. Found a pen at, we have out here Tractor Supply, which is kind of a feed store company. They have a great pen. We walked into one of their stores. I'm like, that's it. It's got a cover on it. And we're going to abut these two buildings together. And we're almost done. I'm so excited.
Yeah, we are almost done. Before that, why don't you tell everybody about the flooring, the padding, the excavating that went into this. Because when she's saying we're not going to tolerate predators, ain't goofing around. So listen to this. And this is an insight into her personality, by the way.
Well, you helped with this. So we were already having some work done on our property with people who have like big, you know, backhoes and things like that. So I said to this person, this right here is where I'm going to put the chicken coop. I want you to, and I will pay you, I want you to dig down 3 feet and excavate that dirt out, that dirt. And we have huge rocks all over our property. I want you to backfill it with rocks. And then we want to string up and down those rocks barbed wire. I went out and bought a roll of barbed wire. And I said, I want you to string that up and then backfill it with the dirt.
So underground from at about the 3 foot level, if you are a predator and you're a raccoon and you're digging or you're burrowing,
you're going to meet barbed wire.
You're going to meet barbed wire, and that's going to be a shock, and that's going to be unpleasant. And I'm like, dang, she not only does a chicken coop, she's burying barbed wire. I mean, I'm telling you.
I love you, baby.
I know. I love you. You're a tough girl.
Our excavator guy was at first was like, this is a crazy idea. He looked at me kind of sideways. And then when that's pretty buttoned up. And then, and again, and I showed him what we were doing. Here's the shed part, and here's the pen part. And he was like, this is a great idea. This is a guy that has lived where we have lived for most of his life. He has done a lot of work for a lot of people, and he's telling us city folks that's a great idea. I felt very encouraged by his assessment of our plan. So we are almost done. And it has turned a little bit more involved than we thought. Because the shed, because it's not chintzy, the shed that covered the bought at Costco, that great instructions, whew, that was involved. That took us a few weekends to get that thing put together, and I'm glad it's solid. And because it's plastic, it'll be easy to hose out and clean out with chickens. It's not wood that's going to get all the chicken schmutz all over it and get gross and rot. Feel really good about it. And we have chicks coming next week. Other side of that, we have chicks coming next week. We need to raise them. We need to keep them warm. We need to do all that. We need to keep them away from predators. And yeah, I'm excited.
So you mentioned the chicks because mm-hmm. you got the chicken coop. We have that under control. Mm-hmm. And I should mention this system of the plastic heavy duty good shed and then the chicken pen and kind of bumping them up together took a little bit of engineering and customizing yes. on our part. Don't, and no offense, guys, don't ask us to tell you, like, give you the plans and to draw them up and tell you where to drill holes. We'll show you pictures, and you're going to have to figure this out on your own.
And ask us questions, we'll show you. But we had to kind of, we had to do it as we went kind of thing to get the doorways to match up and that sort of thing. I will say this, though, too, and we'll put pictures out there as well. There's a whole different, I've never raised chicks before, but we've ordered them from a hatchery, and they're coming, and there's chick care. There's about the first 3 to 6 weeks that they have to have kind of specialized. They have to be kept warm and special food and all that. We're ready to do that. And then we have purchased roosting boxes, and I can talk about those another time, that will be inside. We have got little like ladders that they can perch on because hens like to do that. And we've got an extra little covered shed at the side of this to keep feed away from predators and that sort of thing. So there's some accessories that go with this as well.
So another part of the system, you started talking about this and I diverted you, my apologies.
Yeah, that's all right.
The chicks. So we are putting the chicks, about 15 of them. By the way, it's really important. I didn't know this. Unless you want mayhem, only get
girls.
Get girls, because one rooster and it's bad and they're going to cock-a-doodle-doo and it's a problem.
Well, but get roosters if you want to raise them for meat, if you want to reproduce. We're not there yet. We're not ready to do that.
We can integrate them later once we have everything down and humming.
Right. We're not there yet.
Because, I mean, you know, the feathering and the butchering and stuff, it's not terribly awful to do, but we're not there yet, and mm-hmm. we're not going to take on 50 projects and fail at them. So the chicks, this is cool. So in the greenhouse, which or any place, you know, the like the irrigation trough things, stainless steel ones, galvanized or something. Yeah, they're a little bit smaller. So we're going to plop the chicks in. They come by mail, which always blows me away. They just like they just come and they're like chip 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 chirp chirp. And should I do that again? That
yeah,
imitation?
That was kind of cool.
Chip 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 chirp chirp chirp. Anyway, they show up. And we're going to raise them for a couple weeks or months or whatever it takes and get them up to, like, you know, chicken level. And then we'll transport them into the emigrate them over into the coop and the fence area, and then we're going to have like crazy amounts of eggs. Speaking of eggs, the chickens are far less productive in the winter when there's less light. So we factored that in spring, summer, and into the fall. We're gonna have eggs coming out our ears. So we have a plan for that, don't we?
Do.
What's our plan, Shelby?
Our plan is to freeze-dry quite a few eggs, probably share some with some neighbors, especially some of our prepping neighbors, because they're always good. We might even sell some, you know, to coworkers or whatever. But yeah, we're going to be freeze-drying a lot of eggs, and I'm excited about that. We're going to be eating a lot of eggs, and I'm excited about that too.
And that's a nutritionally dense, spatially dense, inexpensive thing when you freeze dry your own eggs, whether you freeze dry them raw and cook them later, or you cook them and then freeze dry them. One of our Patreon questions is about the scrambled eggs, and we'll be answering that in the after show. And so it's part of the system. And why do you have a chicken coop and why do you have a freeze dryer? Because we have quite literally an army to feed. It's not just the two of us. If there's a couple of you out there, maybe a small family, I don't know that this necessarily makes sense, but we have, no kidding, a team plus family members, plus auxiliary members, plus add-ons. We're going to have a field kitchen at our place, and we're going to feed who knows how many people. So for us, this makes sense, but it makes sense not just in our situation.
Well, and that's the cool thing about chickens, is that you can have chickens in a small, three of them, in an urban environment and have an ongoing food supply. You can have them in a farming environment. You can have them in a lot of places, just not apartments and condos. But it's a really great way to have that sustainable food supply. We only have a couple moments left. And so we will keep kind of talking about our chickens, because we're about to hatch them here soon. And any closing thoughts, though, Glenn?
Yeah, on the chickens, I've really kind of warmed up to this, because they were originally an obnoxious animal that made a lot of noise and made a lot of stinky mess. Now I'm kind of into it. Watch us on social media.
Yes.
And that's how we'll do that. So Shelby, take us out.
I always like to leave you with one of my wonderful, wonderful, heroic quotes. Failing to prepare is preparing to fail. Everyone, have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.